Now, for those of you who have been here before, you know that I title all of my messages with song titles. I can't help myself. This day is no different. Shabbat Shalom. It is a Shabbat. Don't forget that. It is a Shabbat, so we can say Shabbat Shalom. It is a celebration tonight. We are celebrating many things. And yet, there is a solemn aspect to the day. Today begins the Yomim Noraim, the days of awe. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But I want to share with you about this evening that we are celebrating, which is a biblical feast. Do not be confused. It's not a Jewish holiday. Those of you who have heard me speak on this before know the phrase I'm going to mention from Leviticus chapter 23. It says, these are Moedei Adonai, appointed times for meetings of the Lord. It's an appointment. But let's take a look specifically at what this appointment means. Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. We want to pull that up. Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25. It says this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. In the Hebrew, it reads, Bachodesh Hashvi'i, in the seventh month, Be'echad Lachodesh, the first of the month, Yihyeh Lachem Shabbaton, it will be to you a Sabbath, a rest, Zichron, a remembrance, Teruah, which is really an alarm, Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation. Note, interestingly enough, that on this day, which we call in Hebrew Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, or in the new year, the Jewish new year, not once in the Bible does it say new year. It says, let's see, it says rest. It says remembrance. It says teruah, an alarm. It says a holy convocation. It doesn't say new year. Now, let's look at each one of these things. We all understand what rest is supposed to be. It's a Sabbath. That means that the things that we do regularly through the week, to earn our pay, to earn our keep, those are the things we're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. The rabbis would tell you there's 39 categories of things you're not supposed to do. But the Bible says you will do no customary work. So the things that you are normally accustomed to doing, those are the things you don't do on Shabbat. It means that the things we do in a normal business day, we refrain from. Now, whether or not we choose to take that rest is a different story. But that's what God expects. He says this day is a day of rest. Remember, this is His appointment. You've heard me say this before. When we make appointments with people, we're keeping that appointment. If the other person doesn't show up, that's on them. God has made this appointment. You all have done very well, for you have kept that appointment of God. Had you not been here, God would have been waiting for you anyway. It's His appointment, and He is going to keep it, whether or not we show up. So, Mikra Kodesh, a holy convocation, what is that? Well, that's like a gathering like this one. We'd gather together to worship, to observe, to commemorate the festival, and to fellowship with one another. We can't forget that. It's a great time. We're going to have some apples and honey afterwards. We'll fellowship. We'll schmooze, good Yiddish word. Another way to translate Mikra Kodesh would be a sacred assembly. That's where we get this concept of putting aside time for God. Sacred, kadosh, kodesh. It means sanctified or set aside. It means this time, this gathering, is special. It's set apart. It's different from all the other times of the week. That's why we light candles, to set it apart from the time that came from before we light the candles. Tomorrow, it's the end of Shabbat. We'll do something special at the end to set that time apart. So you've got this little compartmentalized period of time that is a sacred time. And I've spoken in previous years at length about this concept of teruah, the alarm. Teruah is also one of the blasts of the shofar, which we're going to hear later this evening. And teruah is meant as a wake-up call. It's an alarm. It's a signal that something is coming. Wake up! We need to be ready for it. We've got to get ready. Wake up! It's like the alarm in your alarm clock. You've got to wake up. It's time. Get ready. Whether what's coming is something like, say the sealing of the Book of Life for another year, which is what we see traditionally in Judaism as occurring at the end of these Yomim Noraim, the sealing of the Book of Life for another year. Or whether we think that this something coming is the coming judgment of the Lord. Today is also known as Yom HaDin, a day of judgment. So maybe that's what we're supposed to wake up and look for. Or maybe it's the payment of the bride price by our groom, Messiah, Yeshua. Maybe that's what we need to look forward to. Maybe that's what we need to wake up and see is coming. But regardless of what it is, we need to know something is ahead in our future we should be watching for. That's teruah. That's the alarm. However, today is also known by another name. Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance. It's the aspect of remembrance that I believe the Lord shared with me He wanted me to focus on for this evening. What is it exactly we're supposed to be remembering? And why on this day? That's what we're going to talk about this evening. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, we thank You for this day of remembrance. We thank You for this day of hearing of the shofar, Lord. May our observance of it be a pleasant aroma, an offering to You, Lord, that You are pleased and satisfied with. May we leave here different people, Father, for the message that You will provide for us all to hear tonight, Lord. And Father, may the name of Your Son, Yeshua, be glorified in everything that we do. For this is all about Him and none other. We pray in His name. Amen. Got a quick video for you to watch, and we'll continue on. Take a look.
I've been thinking it over, and I want to give you my phone number.
I have a boyfriend.
Not for you. In case you guys are too busy and I have to cancel an appointment. That's the reason. Do you really have a boyfriend?
No.
If you did, would you want to go on walks with him?
Yes.
Good. Hey, you want to walk around?
Another day, another stroll with a famous author.
Must be exhausting.
Oh, you've no idea.
I hope we're not breaking some doctor-patient rule here.
No, it's part of the service. Now, I only have three rules.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take advice from someone you wouldn't trade places with. Try not to do something you can't take back. And something is what it is, and it's not something else.
I forget my rule, but I think it has something to do with square dancing.
Well, this is a street I probably won't live on.
Oh, you never know. Anything can happen.
Yeah. In the meantime, looking's free.
Well, you know what he says.
No, I sure don't.
For you and you alone, I have made this place a kaleidoscope of wonder to keep your eye upon as I turn the world.
I don't remember that from the book.
For you and you alone, I have made this place. Now, I did something today I haven't done in years. I walked around. I did. I went for a walk. Many years ago, before Kim and I ever came to Sar Shalom, we had actually just first started at the congregation where we were before, up in Maryland. And I was not in any kind of leadership. You know, Kim and I had just become a part of the worship team at this congregation. And we would go early because we had to practice. Well, we would start our practice and finish our practice before services started, which is usually a good thing. And I would find that I had some extra time. And I would go out front. And I would go for a walk along the sidewalk, just in front of the place where we were meeting. And I can remember a feeling of awe. Just being absolutely inspired by the things that I was seeing. Now, what was I looking at? Well, I was looking at blades of grass. I was looking at leaves on bushes. And I was looking at leaves on trees. And I noted to myself, as I looked, that every single one of them was different. They were each different from each other. I didn't see a tree with all these leaves. I saw a tree with individual, separately created works of art. It really was absolutely incredible to think that God, the God that we worship, made every single one of them, and He made them all unique. They were all absolutely different. If you've never done this, I suggest to you that you try it. But don't do it right now. You can wait until after services. Okay? See, I get to see the mask. I says, okay, I'll try it. No, I would also suggest to you not to do it tonight after services because it's dark outside. You'll look at the grass and you'll say, oh, well, that's dark. You'll look at another blade of grass. Well, that's dark too. And it's all dark. So here's my suggestion. Try it tomorrow morning, when it gets light out. What you will find is that if you wait until you can see it in the light, don't miss that. When you look at things in the light, you will see that everything looks different from the way that it means that it looks when it's dark. But it also looks different from each and every other thing. What I was filled with this was this sense of awe, and you all who know me know I have a fairly active imagination, okay? It's pretty good. But I still, as active as my imagination is, as creative as my brain is, or as twisted as my brain is, I still don't have the kind of creativity or imagination or thought process that could create billions of different blades of grass or leaves. And yet the God we serve is a God who creates with infinite imagination. I mean, it must have taken an awful lot of imagination to create, let's be honest, some of us. Now, many people celebrate the creation of the world on Rosh Hashanah. It is considered the birthday of the world. On this day, it is said, God spoke the world into existence. Yet, if you remember from the Bible, how many days did it take God to create the world? Not seven. I went there too. No, it wasn't seven. He rested on the seventh day. 6 days. 6 days of creation to get the entire thing the way it is. Now, in rabbinic literature, there is a volume of commentaries. And each book of the Torah has a commentary. There are actually many, many commentaries. But the big one would be called Bereshit Rabbah, Genesis, the great Genesis. Okay? In the commentary on the book of Leviticus, which is called Vayikra Rabbah, it's clarified by our sages that what is really celebrated on this day is not the first day of creation, is not the second day of creation, but it's the pinnacle of creation. It was the day that God created man. It was the sixth day of creation, which means that the first day of creation was the 25th day of the month of Elul, which we've just come through. We're now in the first of Tishrei of the year. What year? 5771. Happy New Year. So I suggest to you, in addition to looking around at your environment tomorrow in the light, that you don't just look at trees and grass. I suggest that you take a look at people. In the way that you remember that God created each and every individual blade of grass uniquely, different from every other individual blade of grass. And that he created every leaf on every tree differently, uniquely, and perfectly. When you look at people, I suggest that you start to look at them and remember that God created each and every one of them in exactly the same way. Each and every one of them, regardless of where they are in their relationship with God, and that's important, regardless of where they are in their relationship with God or their walk with the Lord, each and every one of them was created B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God. They were created just like Adam and Eve were, Adam and Chava. They were all created for the same purpose, too. They were all created. We were all created to worship Him, to worship God. Some are fulfilling that purpose. Others are not. But the purpose of creation remains the same regardless of whether we are fulfilling it. We are all meant to worship Him. All of us. So what are we supposed to remember today? Well, for one, we are to remember that God created. Period. He created. Specifically, He created us on this day. And He created all of us in His image. Like He said in the video, everything else was created for us. Everything else was created for us. God spent 5 days of creating just for us. So that we would have all this stuff when we got here. He prepared the place for us. I know that there's a message in there somewhere too. Just don't have time to really get into all of that tonight. In remembering the creation, though, we must also remember the purpose of that creation. We are the bride of Messiah. We were created to be His spouse. Now, parents, I want you to think about something. Kids, you can think about this sort of about in reverse. What if parents could select the spouse for their children? Think about it. Parents are all going, all right. Kids are going, no. But think about it. Think about the person that you would select, that you would choose for your child. Now, imagine if you had the ability to create the spouse for your child. Think about that. It's a whole different ball game then. Because then you could give that person every trait, every characteristic that you would want that person to have for your child. You would create the perfect person, wouldn't you? Of course you would. Of course you would. But think about this. You would want your children to be in a mutual relationship, would you not? And so as you are creating this perfect spouse for your child, you would put in them something like this trait. I want this person to love my child absolutely, completely, unendingly, and willingly. That they, over given a choice, over everybody else, would choose my child. That's how you would create it. Him. Her. And guys, brothers and sisters, that is exactly what God did. We are, I want you to hear this and note it. You might not always feel it, but I want you to hear it. We are exactly who God created from His immense imagination, His infinite imagination. We are exactly who He created to marry His Son. And He gave us that same quality we would want in those people that we were creating for our kids. He wants us to be the bride willingly. So He gave us the ability to choose. We must remember that He created us for that reason, because He loves us. He loves us like a mother loves a newborn child, just like the song says. He loves us like a groom loves his bride. I always talk about this concept of Mashiach being our groom. and how it was a wonderful thing that it was not up to him when he came back for his bride. Because I remember marrying my bride, and I remember that if anything had kept us away, I wanted to be back with her. That's what I wanted, because that's how much I loved my bride. And I submit to you that Messiah Yeshua loves us that much also, and if it were up to him, he'd be back already. That's not God's plan. And so I'm thankful that God had put that sort of thing into place. God will tell him. The father of the groom will let him know when it's time to go back for his bride, which is sort of where we are right now. Now, what does that mean? That means that in remembering the creation and the purpose of creation, we must also remember God's love for us. And that everything he created for us. He doesn't need it. He created it for us because he loves us. Now, Yeshua taught there were two commands that form the foundation for all others. And this is what we were talking about earlier as we recited the Shema. He was challenged. He was asked, all right, you think you're so cool. What's the greatest commandment of all? It was meant to be a trap. But Yeshua didn't fall into traps. He was better than that. He was above traps because he saw right through them. And so he answered them, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha. And he added to that, Ve'ahavta l'v'reacha kamocha. You will love your neighbor as yourself. All the rest, he said, hinge on those. If we remember the creation, we will remember these commands. Because how can we not love our neighbor as ourselves when we remember that God created each and every one of us in his image? We are all meant for the same purpose. We are all meant to be his bride. Some of us have chosen not to walk that path. But that doesn't mean that's what we were meant to do. How can we not love our neighbor as ourselves when we remember that he created us to be united with him? And how can we not love our neighbor as ourselves when we realize that I was created the same way you were created, the same way she was created, the same... We were all created the same, which means we are all brothers and sisters, really. Whether we're acting like it or not, again, is a different story. But really, we are all brothers and sisters. What does that mean? That means you wouldn't kill your sister, would you? All right, don't answer that. Theoretically, you wouldn't kill a part of your family. You wouldn't hate part of your family. You wouldn't lust after part of your family. So that straight off the top gets rid of hatred and murder and pornography and lust and adultery. All of these things that we're doing, that this world is doing, would be gone if we simply understood the fact that God created us all in his image. To be his bride. How can we not love him with everything within us when we remember that he created everything for us? And now here's the main point. You thought I'd been making points up till now? This is the point. We remember creation. And we remember exactly what happened during those days. Think about this. God spoke. And everything was created. Vayomer Elohim. God said, and things happened. God spoke, everything was created. See if this sounds familiar. Everything that was made by the word of God. And nothing that was made without it. Sound familiar? It comes right out of the Bible. And I know that it seemed repetitive for John to say it twice, but it's important. It was important enough for him to say twice in two different ways. He said it first in the positive. Everything was made through him. That's pretty emphatic. And it's hard to doubt the interpretation of that. But lest we try, and God knows we try to interpret things however we want to, lest we try and somehow misinterpret the fact that everything that was made through him. He says it again the other way. He says, nothing that was made without him. It's the same thing, just in the negative. It's like the contrapositive. It's the same thing, emphatically reinforcing what he said to begin with. Therefore, there can be no mistaking where everything comes from. It came from the Word of God. It's the same Word of God that in John 1:14 was made flesh and dwelt among men. Who are we talking about? Yeshua, the Messiah. Everything was created through Yeshua. This is the whole point of John 1. So what does that make us? If we're talking about creation, we were created by God through His Word, who is Yeshua. Okay? Hadavar HaChai, the living Word. He created everything for us. He created us to be His bride. That means that we are the manifestation of everything good that He wanted to be married to. See, He had a part in creating His own bride. That is astounding to me because that means that He loves us exactly the way we are. He would not have created a bride for Himself that was anything less than everything He wanted. I mean, right? You wouldn't do that. If you had the ability to create your spouse or the spouse for your children, you wouldn't create anything less than everything you wanted if you had that ability. That's what He did. In other words, and this is just like Psalm 139 says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Perfectly crafted. Filled to overflowing. It also means that since we were created through Yeshua, that we were created to have life. Now Yeshua said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth. He said, I am the life. Remember, we spoke about this last Shabbat. When God said, choose life, Ha Chaim, the life. We were always meant to choose through Yeshua to live. Because that's the only way life comes, through Him. Since we were created through Yeshua, we were created to have life. Without Yeshua, who is the life, there is no life. Since we were created through Him, life was in us. And yet, there's Adam and Chava, who was also made in the same way, with the same choice, and they choose poorly. And now the image that we were created in has become distorted. It's become more of a caricature than a photograph. It's become more like a carnival mirror than a crystal clear looking glass. And yet the image is still there, waiting to be restored. It's the same creative power that brought the world into existence that is used to recreate life in us today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And these principles that stand forever. Life comes through Yeshua. It came through Yeshua at the creation. It comes through Yeshua still today at our re-creation, our rebirth, our regeneration. It's the same thing today. It just looks a little bit different. And we would do well to remember that today on Yom HaZikaron. It's the Word of God, the living Word of God, Messiah Yeshua, that brings creation. So we can ask then the question that our title song asks. Do you remember when we met? That was the day I knew you were my pet. I want to tell you just how much I love you. Well, my brothers and sisters, the day we met God was the day He created us. He knew us long ago, but the day we met God was the day He created us. And He wants us to remember that day. Why? Because He wants to tell us just how much He loves us. That is what this day is all about. It's the anniversary of the day we met.